It was the Puritan Thomas Brooks who observed, Satan promises the best, but pays with the worst. He promises honor and pays with disgrace. He promises pleasure and pays with pain. He promises profit and pays with loss. He promises life and pays with death. But God pays as he promises.
Amen.
And all his payments are made in pure gold. Tonight, I want to preach on a promise that has been like pure gold to me over the last many months. I have claimed this promise every single day since I discovered it. In fact, I claimed it several times a day over this past week. That's why it's fresh in my mind. I talked about it to a small group of people in May of 2020 during an 8:30 service. But even since then, the Lord has revealed so much to me about this promise that goes even deeper and further since then. So if you have your Bibles, go with me to Deuteronomy chapter 33. Deuteronomy chapter 33. While you turn there, many of you know that my wife, who just sang so beautifully, she often gets migraine headaches. And she'll get two or three, sometimes even four a month. When she gets a migraine headache, the pressure in her head is intense. She'll often have to go into our bedroom, turn out all the lights, and lie very still. The slightest light, the slightest sound can cause excruciating pain. When she gets a headache like that, I try to help her. But to be honest, it's hard for me to understand. I've never had a migraine headache. I'm curious, how many of you have ever had one? Okay, a lot of you. You can sympathize. I cannot. I've never had one. When I get a headache, I go to the medicine cabinet. I open up a bottle of ibuprofen. I take two, sit down for a little while, and I'm fine. But in our medicine cabinet, Tori has a very special bottle of medicine. On the front, it says in big red letters, extra strength. I have ordinary headaches, so I only need ordinary strength medicine. Tori has extraordinary headaches, so she needs extra strength medicine. Now, folks, I think we all understand this evening that these are not ordinary days we're living in. These are, in many ways, extraordinary days. And over the last several months and year, we've had extra pressures, extra stresses, extra fears, extra responsibilities, and in many cases, extra pain. The good news from God's word tonight is that there is a place to go for extra strength.
Amen.
A word of warning. If you want to stay stressed out, worried, discouraged, depressed, miserable, then don't claim the promise in Deuteronomy 33:25. But for everyone else, if you'd like extra strength for extraordinary days, this is a promise for you to live in for the rest of your life. We'll begin our reading, Deuteronomy 33, verse 24. And of Asher, he said, let Asher be blessed with children. Let him be acceptable to his brethren, and let him dip his foot in oil. Thy shoes shall be iron and brass, and as thy days, so shall thy strength be. There is none like unto the God of Jeshurun, who rideth upon the heaven in thy help, and in his excellency on the sky.
Amen.
The eternal God is thy refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms. And he shall thrust out the enemy from before thee, and shall say, destroy them.
Amen.
Israel shall dwell in safety alone. The fountain of Jacob shall be upon a land of corn and wine. Also his heavens shall drop down dew. Happy art thou, O Israel. Who is like unto thee, O people, saved by the Lord, the shield of thy help, and who is the sword of thy excellency? And thine enemies shall be found liars unto thee, and thou shalt tread upon their high places.
Amen.
I want us to notice the promise that's made at the end of Deuteronomy 33, verse 25. You might want to mark it, as thy days, so shall thy strength be. I want you to notice in the first place this evening the context of the promise. The context of the promise. Deuteronomy 33 records the last words of Moses. In chapter 34, he'll go up to Mount Nebo, he will view the promised land, and he'll lay down to die. But before he dies, he wants to bless the 12 tribes of Israel. Now, most of you know this, but Israel was divided into tribes. The United States of America is divided into 50 states, but the nation of Israel was divided into families, 12 tribes. And each of those families could trace their lineage back to one of the 12 sons of Jacob. Well, our promise tonight, as verse 24 tells us, was made to the tribe of Asher. You say, Pastor Gillett, I didn't even know there was a tribe of Asher. Well, there is. Well, the truth of the matter is that there's not a lot of biblical information about this tribe. Turn over with me, if you will, to Genesis chapter 30. Genesis chapter 30. Asher was the eighth son of Jacob. He was the second son of Zilpah, Leah's maid. We read about his birth in Genesis chapter 30, verse 13. And Leah said, "Happy am I, for the daughters will call me blessed." And she called his name Asher. If you have a good study Bible, probably there in the margin somewhere, it says next to the name Asher, happy or blessed. That's what the word means, blessed or happy. Think about that. A mama named her boy Happy. What a great name. Asher was happy, and it would be his destiny to make other people happy as well. Let's get a little more background information. Turn over to Genesis chapter 49, if you will. Genesis 49. In this chapter, Jacob is about to die. So he brings his 12 sons near, and he has a blessing for them. And look at what he says when he gets to Asher, his eighth son. Genesis 49 and verse 20. "Out of Asher his bread shall be fat, and he shall yield royal dainties." In other words, he will eat and produce great, fat, delicious food, food that was fit for kings. And no wonder Asher was so happy. This was a tribe that was singularly blessed by God, and they would be a blessing to the entire nation. Now go back to our text in Deuteronomy chapter 33. We're going to look at some of the verses before and after our promise. Back in verse 24, Moses promised that they would be blessed with children and that they would be acceptable to his brothers. Now, what does that mean? Well, this. It seems like every family has some siblings who are difficult to get along with. And if you don't know who that is in your family, it's probably you, okay? But every family also has some folks who are easy to get along with. Asher was one of those that was easy to get along with. Everybody liked this tribe. Asher was like that aunt in your family who never stirs up any drama at family reunions. Every time she shows up at your house, she has a big bowl of banana pudding. Asher and his tribe were a blessing to the entire nation. They were acceptable to everyone. Then it says, "Let him dip his foot in oil." I know what you Texans are thinking. You're thinking about petroleum oil. That's not at all what it's talking about. It's talking about olive oil. When Joshua divided the promised land at the end of the book of Joshua, the tribe of Asher was given a premier piece of real estate in the northern part of Israel. It bordered the Mediterranean Sea, not far from the region of Tyre and Sidon that we talked about this morning. That region was especially famous for its olive orchards. The prophecy here was that olive oil would flow from the land of Asher, so much so that the people would dip their feet in it. It was a prediction of overflowing, overwhelming prosperity. Then he says in verse 25, "Thy shoes shall be iron and brass." Now, iron and brass were the strongest known metals during the days of Moses. Moses was saying, although you will be prosperous and blessed and you will dip your feet in oil, there will come times, Asher, when the road will be rough and it will be rocky. And when you face seasons of adversity and challenge in your life, I will give you shoes of iron and brass so they can protect you. Then he says in verse 26, "There is none like unto the God of Jeshurun." There is none like unto the God of Jeshurun. Now that word Jeshurun is an interesting name. Jeshurun was one of God's pet names for the nation of Israel. You married couples ought to have pet names for one another. I hope it's still honey and sweetheart and not you old nag and you old man, okay? It's interesting how... You have all these pet names for your beloved as you're dating, you know, and you get married and some of those things change. They really shouldn't. Well, God's pet name for Israel was Jeshurun. The word literally means upright, straight, honest. Now, this is really remarkable because if you remember, Israel got its original name from their progenitor, Jacob. You remember what Jacob means? It means trickster, deceiver, cheater, supplanter. Then you know the story of Jacob. One night he wrestled with God all night and he lost. And God gave him a new name, Israel. It meant prince with God. And now God looks at the children of Israel, and in particular the tribe of Asher, and he says, "You are upright, you are straight, you are honest." Folks, aren't you glad tonight that we serve a God that knows how to turn Jacobs into Jeshuruns? Isn't this all of our stories? We were crooked and deceived by sin, and through the blood of Christ, he has made us princes and princesses with God, and now he is making us into honest and upright people. Aren't you glad tonight you serve the God of Jeshurun? He says in verse 26, "The God of Jeshurun rides upon the heaven in thy help, and His excellency is in the sky. The eternal God is thy refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms. In other words, folks, wherever you look, above you, around you, beneath you, your God is there. No wonder Moses says in verse 29, "Happy art thou, O Israel. Who is like unto thee, O people, saved by the Lord, the shield of thy help, and who is the sword of thy excellency?" Moses is saying that even in difficult, uncertain days, if you belong to God's people, you belong to a happy tribe. You have been saved by the Lord. He is the shield of your help. Amen. In Deuteronomy 33, verse 29, are the last recorded words of Moses. I love this. Moses is about to pass away. He's about to die, but he's happy. He goes out rejoicing. He knows that even though he, as the leader of God's people, is going to die, that God will not die, and the people could rejoice in him. And I would just remind you, folks, no matter what's happened in your life over the last 18 months, God has not died. Amen. He is still your salvation. He is still your shield. He is the sword of thy help. And if you don't have anything else to rejoice in tonight, you can rejoice in the eternal, everlasting God that's holding you. Amen. That's the context of the promise. I want you to notice, secondly, the content of the promise. The content of the promise. Look again at the end of verse 25. "And as thy days, so shall thy strength be." And what does this really mean? I think it means at least two things. First of all, it means that God's strength is delivered daily. God's strength is delivered daily. Notice he does not say, "as thy weeks," or "as thy months," or "as thy years," or "as thy decades." He says, "as thy days, so shall thy strength be." We often measure our lives in terms of years and decades. But don't ever forget this, God always measures our lives in days. Lamentations chapter 3 says that God's mercies are new when? Every morning. In the 90th Psalm, Moses prayed, "Lord, teach us to number our days, to count them, so that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom." Paul wrote in Corinthians that our outward man is perishing like a cheap tent, but our inward man is being renewed day by day. And Jesus said we are to deny ourselves, take up our crosses daily, and follow him. Folks, can I remind you this evening, God intends for you to live the Christian life one day at a time. And with each new day will come a special delivery of his strength to do everything that he intends for you to do on that day. God's strength is delivered daily. Now, folks, we don't get a lifetime supply of strength the day that we get saved. You can't buy God's strength in bulk. It can't be stockpiled or hoarded. It can't be frozen or canned or preserved with formaldehyde. God's strength expires at the 59th second of the 59th minute of the 23rd hour of your day. But the good news is that as soon as the calendar turns over and the earth has rotated on its axis once again, with a new day will come a new delivery of God's strength. The promise here is that today's strength will be sufficient for today's trouble. Let me say that again. Today's strength will be sufficient for today's trouble. So let's get practical for a moment and make a few applications. If that's true, then number one, don't bring yesterday's trouble into today. Don't do it. You see, if I did what I was supposed to do with yesterday's sins, if I confess them, then I am assured from God's word that he has forgiven me and cleansed me from all of those sins. Psalm 103 says that as far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. Isaiah 38 says he cast our sins behind his back. Isaiah 44, he's blotted out our transgressions as a thick cloud. Colossians says, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and he took it out of the way, nailing it to the cross. Glory. Hebrews says, for I will be merciful to their unrighteousness, and their sins and their iniquities will I remember no more. Christian, over and over again in God's word, he says, if you have confessed your sin, you've been forgiven of that sin. And not only are you forgiven, it's been forgotten. Amen. So we need to stop dredging up yesterday's trouble. Stop carrying around the baggage of your guilt. God has not just forgiven your sin, he's forgotten it. If he's cast it behind his back, then why do you keep chasing it down? If he's forgotten it, then why do you keep reminding him and everybody else about it? Right. You see, today's going to have some trouble too. So don't bring yesterday's trouble into today, because the promise is not that you'll have strength for yesterday's trouble and today's trouble only today's trouble. So God gives us strength sufficient for each day. So don't bring yesterday's trouble into today. I think here's the bigger problem. We shouldn't bring tomorrow's trouble into today. Folks, have you figured out that most of your anxiety and stress in life comes from worrying about things that haven't even happened yet? And 99% of the things you're worried about tonight won't happen. And the other 1% is only troubling today because God hasn't given you grace to handle it yet because it hasn't happened yet. Jesus gave us some good advice in Matthew 6:34. He said, "Take therefore no thought for the morrow. For the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof." Now, I've got to confess, every time I study the Sermon on the Mount, I don't exactly find those words from Jesus comforting. Because it is a promise from Jesus that tomorrow will have trouble too. As someone said that being an adult is just saying over and over and over again, if I can just get past this weekend, everything will be okay, right? Well, guess what? Tomorrow's going to have some trouble too. But if you combine what Jesus said in Matthew 6 with what our text says in Deuteronomy chapter 33, here's what the promise of God's word says. Yes, tomorrow will have trouble, but tomorrow's troubles will be met by tomorrow's strength. Amen. Have you figured out you don't get Monday strength on Sunday? Right. You get Sunday strength on Sunday. You take care of Sunday with the strength that God has given you and trust God for Monday. Amen. It was Charles Spurgeon who said, "The same God who guides the stars in their courses, who directs the earth in its orbit, who feeds the burning furnace of the sun and keeps the stars perpetually burning with their fires, that same God has promised to supply your strength. For as your days, so shall your strength be." And you may be here tonight, and you may say, "I don't think I can stay married to him one more day. I don't think I can deal with this physical pain one more day. I don't know if I can fight off this temptation for one more day." And I would say to you, hold on for a second. You're telling me that God can keep the sun shining, the earth spinning, the wind blowing, the birds singing, the bees buzzing, the grass growing? Yeah. That he can sustain billions of stars and trillions of planets, but he can't give little old you the strength you need to go on for one more day? God has made your daily strength his obligation. Amen. And I would remind you tonight, there is no power shortage in heaven. Amen. Today's strength will be sufficient for today's trouble. God's strength is delivered daily. I notice in the second place, this promise means that God's strength is distributed appropriately. It's distributed appropriately. It's not just that we get strength every day, but that we get strength that is as or equal to our days. Now, if you understand tonight that not all days are created equally. Many days are average, and they'll require average strength from God. But some days are what the young people in our youth department like to call extra, okay? And those days will require extra strength. So the promise is that on the days you need average strength, that's all you'll get. But on the days you need extra strength, God will give it to you. You've heard the expression, "I had more month than money." You ever been there? The truth of the matter is that there will never be a time when you have more day than strength, no matter how difficult the day may be. And when I thought about difficult, hard, trying days, of course, the first person that came to my mind was Job. Boy, Job had a terrible, no good day, didn't he? He poured his coffee and left for work one morning, totally oblivious to the fact that he was the subject of a cosmic contest. It all started when those pesky Sabaeans stole his donkey and oxen and killed his servants. "Hey," Job says, "at least I have my sheep." Well, then comes another messenger that, oddly enough, says, "Fire has fallen from heaven and consumed my sheep." Job perhaps said, "Hey, somebody better check on the camels. That's all I've got left." "Sorry, Job." Another messenger's come. "The camels are all gone too." And Job is broke. Then comes, of course, the worst news of all. "Job, you know how your children, all 10 of them, were having dinner in your oldest boy's house. Well, Job, I hate to tell you this, but a tornado came. It leveled the house. All 10 of them are dead." Let me ask you, can a day get any worse than that? I've had some bad days. You've had some bad days. I don't think any of us have had a day like Job had. Somehow, the Bible says he takes it in stride. He retains his integrity. Somehow Job doesn't look for a bridge to jump off. He doesn't look to pour himself a drink. He rips his clothes and he falls to his face, signs of great grief. But then the Bible says he worships God. We talked about it a few weeks ago. The Lord gave and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Folks, somehow as the day was growing harder, Job was growing stronger. As the messengers were delivering to Job the news of big trouble, God was delivering at the same time an even bigger strength. As his day was, so was his strength. And if God could deliver strength to Job on a day like that, I can promise you he can deliver strength to you no matter what kind of days you're living in right now. I thought about God's strength for difficult days. I also thought about God's strength for different days. Different days. Many days are different. When I thought about different days, I thought about the man Moses, the man who wrote this verse. You see, Deuteronomy 33:25, I believe, is the testimony of Moses' life. Because if any life proves that God can give strength for various kinds of days, it's the life of Moses. Someone has said that Moses' life can be split into three 40-year segments. He spent the first 40 years of his life as a prince in Egypt. He spent the second 40 years of his life as a shepherd, watching sheep on the backside of the desert. He spent the last 40 years of his life leading God's people through the wilderness. In the first 40 years of his life, Moses was learning to be a somebody. In the second 40 years of his life, he learned that he was a nobody. In the third 40 years of his life, he learned that God can take a nobody and make him a somebody. Amen. What I love about Moses is that when the day required Moses to be still and watch sheep in the wilderness, God gave strength for that. When the day demanded boldness to stand before Pharaoh and say, "Let my people go," God gave strength for that. And when the day demanded that Moses bear the problems of a million complaining people in the wilderness, God gave strength for that too. Look over at Deuteronomy chapter 34 and verse 7. We're given a summation of Moses' life and the condition that he was in when he passed. Deuteronomy 34:7, and Moses was 120 years old when he died. His eye was not dim, nor his natural force abated. You know what I wrote out in the margin of my Bible? As his days, so was his strength. Folks, in economics, we live by the law of supply and demand. But in God's economy, we live by the law of demand and supply. Whatever the day demands, God will supply the strength. So instead of worrying about the demand all the time, why don't you learn to rest in the supply? Christian, can I challenge you this evening? Are you bringing yesterday's troubles into today? Is there some sin or hurt in your past that you're holding on to and you won't let it go? The Bible says in 1 John 1:9 that if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Beloved, it is awfully hard to carry yesterday's trouble and today's trouble too. Why don't you bring that to God, get it under the blood of Jesus, and leave here free tonight? Let me ask you, did you come here this evening worried? Stressed out, full of anxiety, discouraged? If that's you, would you listen carefully to the words of Jesus? He said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Folks, I told you at the beginning of the sermon, there is a place to go for extra strength. That place is the feet of Jesus. He's the source of our strength. And ladies and gentlemen, the closer we get to Jesus, the more of his strength we'll have. And if we're without strength this evening, if we're weak spiritually, if we're depressed, if we're discouraged, it is not because of a deficiency in our source. It is most likely because of our distance from the source. Pastor, let's make this practical tonight. You've told me that there's strength sufficient for every trouble I'll face in life. Where do I find it? Because I feel like I'm awfully lacking tonight. Where do you find the strength you need? You can find it anywhere you can find Jesus. Can I remind you this evening you can find him in the Bible? Can I remind him you can find him on your knees in prayer? You can find him here in the gatherings of the Worth Baptist Church. Tonight you can find him at an altar of prayer. Think with me. The Bible, prayer, worship, fellowship with God's people, These are the ways that God delivers his strength to our life. They are, if you will, heaven's Amazon Prime. This is the way God gets what he has that you need into your life. But listen, if we leave the box on the front porch unopened and we let God's delivery of daily strength expire, the problem was not a deficiency in our source. The problem was not in his ability to deliver his strength to us. The problem was in our distance from the source and our unwillingness to accept it. If you're here tonight lacking the strength that God has promised, are you ignoring the scriptures? How's your prayer life? How's your fellowship with God's people? These are the ways that God gets his strength into our lives. I quoted this verse this morning, but I think it's one of the most beautiful salvation verses in the Bible. It says in Romans 5, when we were yet without strength, Christ died for the ungodly. Can I remind you, friend, that none of us have the strength to work our way to heaven? None of us are good enough. None of us are strong enough. Thank God there's a God in heaven who has worked his way to us. And through Jesus, we can have salvation through his death on the cross. Salvation is not a prize that we achieve. It's a gift that we receive. And if you've never received it tonight, I would encourage you, receive it by faith. Let's stand together. We're going to have a verse of invitation. Father, we thank you so much for this encouraging passage from your word. I can honestly say I have claimed this promise multiple times a day since I found it. I have found it to be true. It's been pure gold for me. I pray it'll be pure gold for these Christians. Perhaps there is somebody here tonight, Father, who is struggling with the guilt of sins and hurt in the past. I pray tonight they bring those things to the altar and get them under the blood of Jesus. And Lord, there may be some people so weighed down with anxiety and worry about the future, they can hardly function in the present. Oh, Lord, help us to live the Christian life one day at a time. And Lord, if there's anyone here who's never received your strength for salvation, I pray tonight they will. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.